And Bernie Kosar is with us for the second of his two weekly visits here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, enjoyed the other night with you hanging out at Discount Drug Mart in Strongsville. Man, you were did your wrist finally just like collapse, because you were just a nonstop autograph signing machine, man.
Well, first of all, it's a little bit quieter today doing the radio show than it was the other day down at Discount Drug Mart. They did a fantastic job. And, you know, when we're in the studio like tonight, we're doing a radio show, it's one thing. But, you know, when you're out there with the fans and with the people, and you see how much they genuinely love the team, appreciate us being out there, you know, how the entertainment and how it's a way of life the Cleveland Browns are. It's just right. A fantastic feeling.
Oh, it was, and so much fun. And again, love doing it, and love to do more. That was the thing I've heard as feedback, is people want more of these remotes, and certainly want to see you, Hanford Dixon, and the others. We had Ben Watson with us. That's what they're looking for, that kind of engagement. And I say I'm all for it. So whenever they want us to pack this thing up and take it on the road, you know, just give me the word.
On the road we're going. Absolutely right.
Bernie, let's talk about some stuff that's going on around the league. This bounty situation, that story just continues to get a little more interesting. And the latest to being of this documentary piece that was done when the Saints gave this this person who was doing a documentary on them some access, I guess more about NFL media and how it interacts with teams and so forth, was the intent of the documentary. But there's some sound from Greg Williams, or some quotes that have gotten out there that have been pretty damning to his case regarding, and of course he's suspended indefinitely. It doesn't look like the stuff he was talking about, especially prior to the playoff game against San Francisco, talking about some specific injuries that he wanted his players to cause to 49er players, is going to help his chances of getting back to coaching anytime soon.
Well, I found it really shocking today, and I've been one of the ones, and yourself also. I mean, we've talked at length about this, and the actual bounties that actually go on in the league has been going down since the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I mean, at that point, it was excessive in terms of, or almost commonplace for teams to do it, and it's been going down. But as many years as I've been in the league, as many things and situations as I've been around, and I'm a fan of Greg Williams and the Saints, but I think to hear Greg Williams's quotes, to hear him actually say that, I've never heard a coach say to take out a man's ACL,
yeah,
knowing he has a concussion, to purposely hit him in the head to make the concussion worse, especially given what we do know now. That is a first for me, and obviously that does not bode well for his suspension and for his timeline to getting back into the league.
Now, Bernie, you know, when this subject comes up, and when we're talking to, again, former players, especially those who played at the time that you did, a lot of what in the nitty-gritty stuff that goes on the field, defenders against offensive players, and the hard hits and the trash talk, you've heard some pretty nasty stuff, though, that never really made the headlines. It's the kind of things that just are heard on the field and stored in your memory bank.
Well, you know what? On a lighter note, you know, I find this part really humorous. Now, they also were playing today some of the quotes as part of that documentary, some players talking to guys as after they've gotten a hit. And this is one of the things that I find fantastic about football, the competitiveness, the toughness of it. But a guy hit a quarterback under the chin and said to him, "I'm going to be back. You don't forget me. I'm going to be back and get you again." And they assimilated that to the same thing as Greg Williams. And I don't see that even in the same hemisphere as being the same. I mean, I've had guys tell me, and it's hilarious, and smack talking and trash talking is one of the fun things that you do in the league, do during the game, that's been going on forever, and probably you can never get rid of. But it's just something that's really fun of it. I mean, I remember Gastineau hit me late in the double overtime game with the Jets, and him saying, I killed you, I'm going to kill you again, you know, as we got the first down, as we got the extra 15 yards. Later, I was with the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game, and Troy had gotten hurt, and I come into the game, and San Francisco, two guys on the D-line, they're laying on top of me saying, oh, I yoked you, I stroked you, old man, you can't play anymore. And I go to the guys, I go, hey, guys, I don't think these 80,000 people are cheering because you yoked me, which I'm not even sure what that is. I think we had a 60-yard touchdown pass to Alvin Harper. I mean, those are memories that just you keep with you forever. And it's part of one of the things that's actually, I think it's unbelievably fun part of the game.
No, good. I love that. Those are good stories. We're visiting with Bernie Kosar, as we always do here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, as we talk about, of course, the topic of it's going to be the topic of every day between now and the 26th, the draft, and the different things that may or may not happen as we move forward. And you and I spoke the other day at the remote at Discount Drug Mart regarding the Wunderlich test and the score that we saw Morris Claiborne reportedly had with the four, and how you were making the point how that information gets out there and shouldn't. But Commissioner Goodell talked more about the confidentiality of the information and that it's not to be used, because you get the sense more and more that it's definitely being utilized or clearly being utilized to manipulate where this guy's availability is, in light of the fact that he's a talented player and that teams, you know, would maybe shy away, or somebody trying to discourage teams from drafting him. And I'm not sure that's happening. In fact, I think the opposite might be true. There's a lot of sympathy for the guy and for the score coming out being made public.
Yeah, this time I concur with you, and I absolutely think you're right on point. It's just there's typically 5, 6, 7, 8 other guys over the last two decades that they mention when this comes up. And again, I'm not sure it's fair to them, their family, their kids, and for them to have to listen to that. And for that to come out, whether it's this time being maybe a little more sympathetic stance towards it, you can't help if you're picking 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which is where Morris Claiborne is projected to go. You just can't help but think about that, and it puts that little cloud, that little demon thought in you that you just have to think about, because whether it's right or wrong, whether we agree with it or not, whether it's true or not, unfortunately and tragically, that's going to be with him forever. And people picking, because as you know, we analyze everything, mm-hmm. don't want that to be a factor that 4 years from now comes up to say, to be a decisive point in whether he's productive or not. And it's just, again, albeit if it's accurate, it's one thing, but still to be released and for him to have to deal with it, I just think it's really tragic.
Another interesting story, and the more we reach a point where the discussion takes over and it's really not much change in, I think, how teams are looking at their boards. I think almost every team in this league has its board set, knows what it's going to do in this draft, and now it's the pundits all going back and forth over certain individuals. The fixation on Ryan Tannehill hasn't gone away, and there's even some discussion that maybe he's going to wind up being drafted much higher than he should be, just because of the need thing, that the need thing will carry high enough and his stock is going to be elevated, possibly, you know, not entirely because he may merit that, because he does have that inexperienced thing, and there are those questions there, and there may even be some other questions about the guy, but as far as how good he can be as an NFL player, not personally, but as a player, and that, you know, the thought might be that, well, you know, he gets drafted at a higher spot in the draft than he should, just because he's a quarterback and just because the other two so-called presumed best guys in the draft at quarterback, Andrew Luck and RG3, are gone.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about that. The teams now a lot of NFL teams are desperate for a quarterback, and it's sometimes in desperate situations you make speculative, higher risk decisions. And if he works out and he ends up being a player, then hey, it's not too high, it's not a risk. But because of the only 19 games started, and actually I think the last quarterback to be picked in the top 6, 7, 8 of the draft who had less than 20 starts, I think it was Mark Sanchez who had around that too. And we see some of the issues that are going on with the Jets. Still, I think year 4-ish of his career, and there's still uncertainty as to whether he is a franchise quarterback or not. So, again, we hear a lot about it's a passing league. We hear a lot about it's a quarterback-driven league. But just getting a quarterback for quarterback's sake and not being for sure on it makes it sometimes pretty speculative.
Well, Bernie, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking the time, and look forward to talking with you again next week. Best of the holiday for you and your family.
Hey, happy Easter to everybody out there.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.